Edward Nigma.
Come on down. You're the next contestant on Brain Drain.
I'll take what's behind Thick Skull number one.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
The Puzzler.
Meow.
The Gamester.
Meow.
Captain Kill.
Meow.
Gus of the Brothers Movie Factory.
And what a chase you must be.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What's he say? And what a pursuit it must be. She's like, Dr. Chase Meridian. He's like, and what a pursuit you must be.
Yeah.
My God, I'm damn too. It.
This guy's smooth.
Yeah. Nicole Kidman, you're unfair for many children's eyes.
I was woke in 1995.
I mean, hell. You bring your damaged psyche.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll bring my damaged everything.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, she says later in the movie, she's like, I'm attracted to the wrong type of man. I'm like, that man's a good guy. He's not a bad guy. He's like the best of us. I don't know what more you could ask for.
Well, he's the wrong type of man because he wears a suit with nipples on it.
True, but she does like the latex rubber.
Black latex rubber.
But indeed, we are the Brothers Movie Factory, and what we do here every week, we take a film, we watch said film, we then take to the pod to discuss that film, what we liked, what we didn't, what worked, what didn't. We then submit that movie to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, just a remake for the modern era. Who would be in it? So calm down, relax. We're not remaking all these great movies and sometimes terrible movies. We are just having a little bit of fun. So indeed, this week, continuing on with sequel month and really wrapping out, well, no, I guess it's only the middle of the month.
Go fuck yourself. We still got next week to go.
Hell. But indeed, sequel month continues on, and it's funny because this movie, so far during sequel month, and including the film that we watched before, we had Jaws 2, which gave us the idea. We did Terminator 2, and we did Lost World, indeed. And so for this one, this is interesting because we never did the original film in this franchise. We actually did the sequel before.
Mm-hmm. This is the sequel of that sequel.
To a degree, from a certain point of view, some may say. Yeah. But yes, we decided to watch Batman forever and
never
ever and ever.
Never leave the cave without it.
Yeah, and we watched Batman Returns last year. So this is, we never watched just the old school Batman.
And honestly, I think we watched Batman Returns not last year, but the year before.
It was a Christmas movie.
Yeah, it is a Christmas movie, Midge.
Just like Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, the Tim Burton Christmas classic.
I guess.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned we've been revisiting some of these great movies, and you're like, well, some of them. And this one is very, it splits people, because most people would probably say this is a bad movie. However, I wholeheartedly disagree. And maybe we'll get into it and discuss it and figure out the proper answer throughout this show, but it might be nostalgia. It might be, what do you like to say, those rose-tinted glasses? But in this case, it'd be like neon-colored glasses.
I mean, I have nostalgia for Batman and Robin, and even I can't watch that one.
I can watch Batman and Robin any day.
It's giving you a stroke.
But Batman Robin is dumb fun. Like, it's so bad, it's good.
I was thinking about that today. I was like, would it have been... I know I like Arnold Schwarzenegger's performance as Mr. Freeze, but would it have been not better, just worse? I guess better, if he would have played it more like the Terminator that we saw last week, if he was, like, more serious.
I mean,
stoic,
probably.
Like the one in the animated series and the comics, right, and everything.
If we ever do Batman and Robin, maybe next sequel month we do, we'll dive into that. But
it's not called Batman and Robin, it's called Batman and
shit. But and that's what some people would say about Batman Forever. Shit. But I disagree.
Val Kilmer's lips. Even Nicole Kidman calls him. Nicole Kidman calls out his lips.
Does she?
Yeah. When he comes to her house, she's like, ever since the first moment I saw you, your body, your lips. I was like, she's not even talking about Batman anymore. She's talking about Val Kilmer.
They were just rolling. They weren't calling action yet. She was just talking to Val.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah, I thought it was so funny because that's been a joke, an inside joke. I guess it's just a worldwide joke about Val Kilmer's lips. But on the pod, we've mentioned Val Kilmer's lips a time or two. And rewatching Batman Forever, the first time you actually see Batman after he like suits up and steps into the light a little bit and the music comes to its crescendo, it's just a little beam of light on his mouth, just highlighting his lips.
Obviously.
He's like, what's he say? Shall I make you a sandwich, sir? I'll get drive through.
He's a good Batman. Val Kilmer's a good Batman. He's a good Bruce Wayne as well.
Tell me, Dr. Meridian, do you like the circus?
I like him as I like the scene, to be honest, when we'll get to it in depth, but when Robin saves him, like when Robin has his like official introduction. And I like after that, he's like, you could have been killed. I'm like, you're Bruce Wayne. You're good Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, he is pretty good. And, you know, I when I was younger and they did come out with Batman Robin, I was so curious why it wasn't the same guy, why it wasn't Val Kilmer again. It was George Clooney at that time. And that kind of continued on throughout my life up until I was doing a little bit of research.
And you're like, why isn't it Michael Keaton?
Well, I found that out too. So I'll stick with Val Kilmer. Why he didn't return for the following sequel was multitude of reasons. But one, he wasn't really happy with the direction everything was going.
Really? Who would have thunk?
He accepted the role without even reading the script. I mean, fuck, it's a role of a lifetime.
Yeah, it's like Qui-Gon Jinn.
It's probably what he's most known for, too. That
Tombstone, man.
Top Gun and Tombstone.
He's great in Tombstone. Have you seen Tombstone?
Yeah, okay. He'll be your Huckleberry all night long, baby.
What about MacGruber? He's good in MacGruber.
Yeah, but this is like starring Val Kilmer. He wasn't happy with how it was going. The suit, he was very uncomfortable. I think it weighed over 50 pounds.
At least he could turn his neck.
No, he couldn't. That didn't happen until The Dark Knight. And
get rid of chihuahuas.
Should do fine with cats. And what else didn't he like? Oh, Joel Schumacher. They didn't get along creatively, and Joel Schumacher said in an interview there'd been times where Val wouldn't talk to him for like weeks on end. Like, be like, all right, we're gonna do this and this, and just Val Kilmer just turn and go and do it kind of thing. Just didn't get along, so he was not too keen on coming back. But speaking of not coming back, that would be Michael Keaton. Pittsburgh's own Michael Keaton. And he was on board to do Batman Forever. Even after Tim Burton had exited or was asked to exit. Because the big controversy was Batman Returns was very dark. Very dark, unhappy kind of movie, yet McDonald's is trying to make Happy Meal toys with Batman Returns items, and it just wasn't too marketable. They like cut out their one of their main demographics.
They didn't want sexy penguin.
They didn't want sexy penguin.
Yeah.
Sexy penguin, sexy Catwoman, didn't want it.
Sexy penguin toys.
Sexy Christopher Walken didn't want it. So they wanted to go in a they wanted to go in a different direction, which meant no Tim Burton pretty much. He stayed on as producer. And Michael Keaton stayed on, but like he went to a few meetings and he saw the direction they were going, and he never liked the story. He never liked the script. And he said in an interview, he knew he was done when Joel Schumacher like kind of scrapped a bunch of stuff and says, why does everything have to be so dark? And Michael Keaton's like, I'm Batman. That's why it has to be dark. And he exited shortly after. And then they also continue. He says,
and I'm shutting your butt down.
I don't think he said that. He said, I'll kill you and everyone you love.
Jesus. I love Michael Keaton. He's too good. He's too good to us.
And yeah, so he left, and then they went with old Val Kilmer, who, funny enough, received the call for the role while he was like exploring. I can't remember where he was, but he was in a bat cave when he got the word that he received the role. He was like exploring caves in some foreign country. So he's like, I am Batman.
Cave went on forever.
And yeah, so here we are with our Batman Forever, which has a very, for me, just nostalgically iconic opening with Two-Face. Not that one.
That theme has to be one of the loudest. Like, it's not the movie could be so quiet, and then all of a sudden that theme hits. I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Wake the neighbors.
But I was talking like Two-Face and the
boiling acid. Like, what else is it?
Boiling acid.
Yeah. Like, what makes it boiling, or is it just regular acid?
But Tommy Lee Jones delivers one of my favorite like villain introductory lines and camera turns, because it just shows his like his good side of his face, and then it pans over to the
let's be fair, all of Tommy Lee Jones's face is his good side. Let's be fair,
even when it's in makeup.
Yeah,
but he goes he goes luck, blind, simple, doodah, clueless luck.
he looks at the camera and goes, say it.
So yeah, I like that stuff. And you also get introduced to, as we mentioned,
a security guard.
Nicole Kidman as Dr. Chase Meridian, who instantly just gets all kinds, gets a certain way, certain urge.
Here's a strong female character that is not going to be strong for long.
Batman shows up. She's like, hot entrance.
Yeah. I'm like, thanks. Who are you?
that'd be a funny skit. It's like Dr. Chase Meridian is just swooning and flirting and just basically drooling and crawling all over Batman. He's just so oblivious. He doesn't care. Like, thanks. Who are you? I have to save the day. That'd be good.
How about when Batman's trying to save the security guard from the boiling acid, and he's like, hey, that's my good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, that's my hearing aid. I'm like, fuck off. He's trying to save you.
Like, I can't hear myself die.
Yeah.
Oh my god. He's in another movie too. That security guard. He's in like, he might be in Batman Forever, but I'm pretty sure he was in Batman Returns too, but not as like that character. I know that like weird lady with the glasses who's like a reporter. It's like, there's Brucey. That lady, she was in Batman Returns as well.
I hate her.
You're like a frog, became a prince.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, you know what we need in Gotham? This.
Why'd you turn into the mayor from Jaws?
Gotham, as you know, means neon lights.
Yeah, apparently. And bizarre architecture.
Yeah. Like they go all in on that in the next one. It's like, why? It does not make any sense.
Why are these giant statues of, like, naked humans, like, holding bridges together, like, that are bigger than skyscrapers? Like, that's just a waste of money. Yeah. Not very convenient. So, we also soon get introduced to probably the highlight of this movie, and that is Jim Carrey as the Riddler.
The Quickster!
he wishes. So, interesting factoid. Robin Williams was approached to play the Riddler when Tim Burton was still on board to make this film. But then it was not called Batman Forever. Do you know what it was called?
Batman Always.
Might as well be. It was. I like that. It was Batman Continues. And Robin Williams was on board to play the Riddler. And in 1994, that was the year of Jim Carrey. That's he came out with Ace Ventura, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber, and became the biggest box office name in Hollywood. So when the studio decided to go in a different direction, they they decided to, you know, leave Robin Williams and go with this big box office zaniness that was Jim Carrey. So that would mark the second time Robin Williams has been burned by Warner Brothers in a Batman movie. Because previously he had been basically used as bait to get Jack Nicholson for the movie of Batman. They approached Jack Nicholson. He said no. They cast Robin Williams, and then Jack Nicholson came back. It's like, listen, I'll do it if you pay me this much money.
If you give me all the money.
That's pretty much what he asked for. I think in that time, this is a lot of money, but in any time, it's a lot of money. I think he got $70 million plus royalties.
I can't believe I ate the whole thing.
Yeah. It might have been not royalties. It was like percentage of the box office. And it was a huge hit, so he made some bank. So we have Jim Carrey as Edward Nigma.
Come on down, you're the next contestant on Brain Drain.
I'll take what's behind Thick Skull number one.
Hey, I'm telling you, that got me the role as Willy Wonka in my middle school play.
Is that what you use as your audition?
Yeah, that scene.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was. It worked. Here I am now, a star. I'm a star.
But yeah, his introduction in this movie, I love.
Bruce Wayne.
No, that's my name.
Fuck off, Bruce.
Yeah. He's, I just love Jim Carrey's, like, hidden manicness. I loved his, like, little hunched limp and his long hair. It was just good stuff.
I never got, though, I get that he's a real wacko, but I never got that, like, Bruce is willing to meet with him and talk to him about his idea. And he's like, ooh, that's not gonna work for me. I'm like, dude, you have it! You have it! You've won!
Yeah, because he's too smart for that. He was picking up on Bruce's body language. He knew. He's like, you set something up with my secretary, and we'll make something happen. He's like, that means no. So
you're supposed to understand. I'll make you understand.
And he does by giving him wacko riddles.
And, I use the riddles. I actually quote this movie quite a bit, but I use the riddles from this movie a lot too to make myself sound smart.
13 numbers on my face. Wait, find the numbers on my face.
If you look at the numbers on my face, you won't find 13 any place. You idiot!
I failed you.
Can't you do anything right?
Scratch the numbers on... Fuck my face.
Does
off.
This look like a number two pencil?
But Dad...
Shut up!
I was going to say, take one out and scratch my head. What once was red is black instead.
A match.
Yes.
He's just too cool, calm, and collected. Old Brucey baby.
Yes, indeed. And then, you know what scene... Oh, well, we got it. No, that didn't happen yet. Did it? Oh, I'm mixing everything up. But what scene made me feel comfy and cozy at youth and at adulthood is when Edward Nigma goes home to his apartment and he like walks in and he like starts making the first riddle. I don't know why. That just made me feel comfy and cozy with that song playing by the Flaming Lips.
Well, that's because that was Joel Schumacher's True Calling. A music video.
You're right.
I guess we should say, like, Joel Schumacher catches a lot of shit for his directing choices and, like, his, I don't know, basically these movies, but, you know, I forget quite often that he did direct such classics as, like, Lost Boys and shit like that.
And Phantom of the Opera, which I do enjoy. Yeah. He's really only known for making two bad movies, but that like defined him pretty much. Yeah. Like they're like, oh, he sucks, but he doesn't. He's a great director, and he recently just passed away.
Yeah,
this is also for him, you know, doing an homage to one of at least one of my favorite films of his, and that was Batman Forever.
Fall down, Master Bruce.
That's right. Roger Ebert, late great also, Roger Ebert, he described this movie as bubblegum for the eyes. And that's not far off.
And what a bubblegum it must be.
And then, you know, that leads to the creation of the Riddler in when he makes that machine. He's like working on it in the lab and he does the test on his boss, and he realizes his machine doesn't just make you feel like you're in a TV show. It sucks your brain waves out and transfers it to him, making him smarter.
Feeding off your cortex.
Drinking up your IQ, feeding off your brain.
Dude, some of the Riddler's theme in this movie is like 100%. Like, it's Danny Elfman incarnate, but Danny Elfman didn't do the music for this movie. It's like the Mars Attacks theme. Like,
yeah, it is. The Riddler kind of scared me when I was younger. Two parts in particular. One, where he's sitting in his evil lair, and that theme's really playing, like, and he's like sucking up the brain waves, and he's just like kind of freaking out, sitting in his big throne. Yeah. That visually, I didn't like that when I was a kid. And at the very end, when spoiler alert, but Batman saves the day. And his like face gets all warped and shit. I didn't like that.
That's probably my most quoted line. Spoiler alerts. He's like, "Why can't I kill you?" That's like one of my most quoted
lines. You do say
that
a lot.
Yeah. That's but how he looks in that scene is how I look most mornings. So
that's how I look after sex. Yeah. Another line I quote often in this movie, similar context, is from Two-Face. He's like, "Why can't you just die?" Especially when you're playing like some kind of video game or whatnot.
Smash Brothers.
Smash or something with like Call of Duty or an at.
Yeah.
I guess. So, what's interesting, an interesting aspect about this movie is a love triangle, one that exists between Dr. Chase Meridian, Batman, and Bruce Wayne. And that's a subplot that carries out throughout this film. And
we deserve, but not the one we need right now.
Yeah, and Chase Meridian, she's just got the thirst for Bruce Wayne or Batman, who's the same person. She just doesn't even know it, which makes it sort of entertaining.
Thirst is almost putting it mildly.
Yeah. Hunger. She's a wrecking machine, and she's hungry.
It does force the what's it called? The trend that they can realize you're a superhero from your kiss, but not from your voice. Because Val Kilmer doesn't change his voice too much. Same with like Peter Parker and the original Spider-Man, like Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker. Like, he doesn't change his voice. Like, you got a knack for getting into trouble. I'm like, that's the nerdiest fucking voice ever heard. You know that's Peter. But she realizes at the end from a kiss.
That's right. And you know, what's like the one thing flesh-wise you see on Batman at all times?
His lips.
His lips. Yeah, who else does lips like that?
No one.
Bruce Wayne.
Brucey.
Oh, shit. So, people that's...
idiots.
Yeah. But, you know, old Bruce Wayne goes and invites old Chasey Baby to the circus, which leads to our other main character of this film.
Thank God. Chris O'Donnell.
I was going to say Cleft, the boy chin wonder.
Guess again. Again, Cleft.
We get Robin and the Flying Graysons.
He's got an okay character introduction. I always thought, anyways.
Yeah, no, and this is definitely nostalgia, but like I've always liked him as Robin. I never saw a problem with him, other than he's supposed to play like a 16, 17 year old, and I don't buy it.
There's reason for that.
Yeah, he looks like he's 30.
He looks the same now.
Yeah, right. That's true. I was even as like a 5-year-old seeing this movie, I was confused why he had to live with Bruce Wayne. I'm like, why can't he live on his own? He's a grown up.
Yeah, and Metropolis has got to be halfway to New Jersey by now.
Right. Metropolis is across the river. Can't go there. So yeah, at the circus, old Two-Face Baby wants to bring forth Batman, and he's creating a terroristic attack by threatening to blow up the circus and all of Gotham's big wigs. Why am I talking like this? Batman, big wigs. Big wigs.
Because of Two-Face.
Two-Face. Riddler. Robin. So,
can we imagine what it would have been like if Carl fucking Weathers was it Carl Weathers that was supposed to be Harvey Dent? Or was Harvey Dent? Billy D. Williams. Oh my god.
Carl Weathers.
Yeah, like, nah, Billy D. Williams is, because he would have been a cool cat.
You're like, chances are one of you twits is Batman. Harvey! I'm Batman.
At the end, he'd be like, "Oh, those are nice lips there, Batman."
Yeah, can you imagine him playing Two-Face, but only half of his face has the classic Billy D mustache?
Yeah.
That's probably what I want. That or the other half is like bleached white or something.
Thank God.
Yeah, he was supposed to return as Two-Face Harvey Dent. That was part of his contract he signed back in the day when he signed on to do Batman, because he knew where the character of Harvey Dent went. He's smart. So in his contract, it did say that no one else was allowed to play the character of Harvey Dent. And when they decided to go into a different direction, they bought out his contract. So he did receive a nice payday for that, but
Harvey,
he didn't get to play.
Harvey Dent. I want to drive.
He didn't get to play Two-Face until the Lego Batman movie. So.
And what a movie it is.
But yeah, that would have been something to see. And because of this act at the circus, the terrorist attack, it caused the death of Dick Grayson's parents, leaving him an orphan, which is, I think, a good scene. I think it's pretty effective. And I actually really love that shot of his family dead on the circus ground, and Bruce Wayne looking up and at the top of the big top. You know, you see that little head poke out. I really like that. It was very effective.
Hang out a lot of biker bars, Bruce.
So Bruce Wayne takes him in.
He's like, let me seduce you with my bikes.
That's pretty much what happened. And perhaps the dogs are hungry, which I love that line too.
Alfred, yes. Can we real quick, Alfred, the actor that plays Alfred, which I always, his name always escapes me though, but he
Michael,
is
it Michael Goh or Michael Goff? Yeah, I can't
He is my Alfred, like, always will be. Like, when I think Alfred, I don't think Michael Caine. I usually think of him.
Yeah, you've said that before, yeah. And probably the best scene with Robin in this movie is when he's like 90s extreme doing his laundry and drying out his clothes.
Is that the best or worst?
Exactly. to be determined. And yeah, because old Robin, or I guess he's just Dick Grayson at this point.
Like, we need to show that he can kick ass. Well, how do we do that? Make him do laundry. All right.
Well, he's nosy, and he stumbles upon the old Bat Cave.
But Alfred sees him in there. How's he take the car? The other car.
He's too old.
Yeah, I guess. He does take a nice clock to the fucking head toward the end.
He does. I was like, did they just kill him?
Yeah, I'm like, the next one he's dying from a mysterious illness, but in this one he take a fucking fist to the fucking head.
Maybe it wasn't a mysterious illness. Maybe he was, like, dying of, like, brain trauma.
Yeah, Jesus.
Because he gets biffed. Not with a punch. It was with that metal.
Real hard.
It was with that metal cane of the Riddlers. But, yeah, so Robin's on the go, and he wants to pretty much be Batman's partner. He wants to take down Two-Face. He wants to avenge his family, but... Robin, fuck, that's him.
Avenge Bruce Wayne. Me.
Bruce Wayne's like, nah, there's no life for you, kid. And they move on, but Robin will fly again.
I wondered at the end when Robin does get his chance. He's like, who's your tailor? He's like, I took the liberty. I'm like, damn, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah, why are you a butler?
Yeah. Like, I know, like, in the comics and shit, he was, like, a CIA agent or some shit.
But yeah.
Or British intelligence. Like, he's something James like that. Bond.
But... Yeah, he wouldn't be CIA. But, yeah, Alfred's very talented. Makes suits. He's a mechanic. He makes...
sandwiches.
Fishy soir. So, another scene I really love in this movie follows shortly after, and that would be the, like the charity ball. And what I liked about this scene the most is Edward Nygma has released his device, the box, and he's become like Gotham's latest tech billionaire. And at the charity ball, he basically mimics the look of Bruce Wayne, the hair, the suit, and the mole.
How's my mole?
I just love it. I love that bit. Even later, like Bruce Wayne puts on his glasses and Edward Nygma puts on the same exact type of glasses. I just thought that was a good touch.
Can we imagine that this is actually like E.T. fucked up Gertie so bad that like that Drew Barrymore in this movie is Gertie from E.T.?
You can call me anything you want.
Where's the other girl go? She just disappears.
No, she shows up with Two-Face.
Yeah, but after that, like toward the end,
she's like, at the end. She's at the end. She's at like the very end when the Riddler's presenting like the game. Let's meet our contestants. She's there for that. Her name's Spice, and Drew Barrymore
Sugar. Spice, yeah. And everything nice.
And that everything nice is the Riddler's outfits in this movie.
They're on point.
One of my favorite scenes also is when he's creating his suit.
Memories.
He's so good in this movie.
I can't possibly go on. The memories.
He left the suicide note. You'll find it, whatever he says.
Find the writing in the
handwriting matches.
His exact handwriting and spelling.
Get a grip, Edward.
Yeah, right. He was like a father to me, a brother, a cousin who visits all the time. Good stuff. But no, he's making his Riddler suit, and that's what we alluded to in the old intro there. But shows up to Two-Face's pad. I really like that scene too. Factoid.
Tommy Lee Jones hated him. Oh.
Yeah, well, that's factoid too. He had that like big orange hair. Originally, he was going to have a question mark shaved into his head. However, he was going through a divorce and didn't think that would be a good idea to walk into a courtroom with a question mark shaved into his head. So they settled on that orange flat top. They join forces to answer the mother of all riddles, who is Batman. And Two-Face and Riddler wreak havoc across Gotham. And I liked their chemistry, but as you alluded to, they did not like each other.
No, it just Two-Face to me. He's supposed to have that like double psyche where he's serious, like old school Harvey Dent, and then he's crazy. But he never has that. Like they even mentioned that at the end where he's like me. Like that. That's how it should have been the whole time, but it's not like that.
It is a little bit. Like he talks to himself in, I guess, a third person. He's like we. He says we a lot. What's he say? He's like he basically says like Batman is driving us insane. So yeah, I get what you're saying. You wanted just more of that, the two sides of the same coin kind of thing.
Indeed. Make his own luck.
Yeah, through their partnership and through that charity ball, they find out who Batman is, and that's Bruce Wayne, and that
who
raid
has
of Wayne
on the brain.
Yeah. They raid Wayne Manor.
That's a big
beat
deal,
the shit
too.
Out of
that's
Alfred.
That's a big accomplishment for a Batman villain.
That's right.
Like, not many have done that.
You know, it's interesting too. Unless Riddler and Two-Face did not tell their henchmen, like, we're going to Bruce Wayne or Wayne Manor because he is Batman. We're going to go and destroy the place and do this and that. Like, but by the end of this film, Two-Face died, so the secret died with him, and the Riddler went truly insane and thinks he's Batman. What's to stop these henchmen, who are probably just in jail, to be like, yeah, I know who Batman is?
They probably didn't tell him. I would imagine. I mean, suspend your disbelief, but I would imagine they just didn't tell him.
Like, right.
They just.
I mean, it's not hard for me to suspend my disbelief for this movie, because it is zany goodness. It's supposed to feel like the old Adam West show.
It's a real wacko of a movie.
It is. But yeah, they basically knock out Bruce Wayne and steal Chase Meridian, who was on a date with old Brucey baby, and Bruce was about to, you know, quit being Batman forever. Whoa.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
So and, that's why they call it that.
He wanted to quit forever, but he will be Batman forever. And be with Chase, and I mean Robin, like we had mentioned, we kind of skimmed over this, but he saves Bruce Wayne and wants to be, or Batman says Batman wants to be his partner, but he won't let him. So he runs away. And yeah, the Batcave gets destroyed by the Riddler in another great little scene. I just love his costume, that like onesie, and later his like white sequin onesie and his light up jacket. Helps when he's jogging at night.
Sounds so badass when you call it a onesie.
So
I just love his onesies. I like this game.
We get some new toys, literally, with Batman with a new suit and new.
We had a Riddler toy, right?
Oh yeah, we had a lot of these toys. We had Batmobile. We actually had no, that was the next movie. I remember our grandparents got us both the same Batmobile, so we wouldn't fight over it. But we did have a Batman Forever, Batmobile, some Batman toys. We had Riddler. We have Two-Face. I imagine that Two-Face toy being controversial now, because he had a silver gun. It was just attached to his hand. You couldn't take it out or nothing. So I'm like, that probably wouldn't fly nowadays.
Probably not.
So yeah, and then what does he say? He's like, what do you think, Alfred? By sea or by air?
How about both?
Who's your tailor?
I took the liberty, sir.
R, what's that stand for?
Ripped.
Richard. Richard Grayson.
Dick Grayson.
And they're off to save the day.
Stands for Misappear.
And you know what I noticed upon rewatching this? Robin was pretty useless. He's in the bat boat, and it immediately gets blown up, and he gets captured. Oh, no, he doesn't get captured. He gets away.
He rolls ass, but then he fucks up. Well, he does what Batman wanted him to do.
They get to the lair, and he delivers his line. Do you know his line?
Holy rusted metal, Batman.
Yeah. Huh? You know, the ground is full of holes. Holy. Oh.
That's what the entire audience did. They're like, huh?
Yeah, that's just a little Easter egg, I guess. But
Easter egg is meant to be hidden.
And once again,
in the face.
Yeah, Robin is useless because then he gets, he almost kills Two-Face, but then he says he'd rather see him in jail, and that tricks him. What's Two-Face say? He's like,
noble, very noble. Noble and stupid.
Something like that.
Stupid, but noble.
And he gets captured instantly. So, the amount of actual Robin screen time is probably good, 2 minutes. And then the
I thought about that, though. I like Robin's inclusion in this movie, and it makes sense from, the story they're trying to tell. But they spend so much time with, going over Batman's past, psyche, dealing with Chase Meridian and all that stuff, that they really almost don't have enough time for Robin's inclusion in the movie itself.
Yeah, there's a lot of characters, brand new characters in this movie. Chase, Robin, Two-Face, Riddler. So dedicating enough time to all of them while making the movie still about Batman. And I did like what they did. They dove into his past a bit more, some repressed memories. That was some good stuff, at least for the character and the drama of the movie. And that helped with the relationship between Bruce Wayne and Chase Meridian, who now is attracted to him because he's fucked up. And he's rich. That's pretty much what we get out of her. But yeah, you're right. It didn't give enough time for Robin. But that's it. It doesn't really affect the movie. It's just something you notice. And yeah, so now we're faced with the final conflict, a battle of wits between Batman and the Riddler. And as we kind of said throughout the show, pretty much everyone dies and Batman saves the day.
Hey, Harry, old buddy, old pal.
That would be good as he's turning around in that chair and saying, riddle me this, riddle me that. Who's afraid of the big black bat? Hey, Harry, old buddy, old pal.
That'd be good stuff. Would watch.
Would watch. And also pretty effective, I always thought, was when they kill off Two-Face. Yeah, it focuses on Robin's face. And what I liked about that is Batman took the burden. He took the burden off of Robin for having to exact revenge and kill Two-Face. So he once again did what Batman's meant to do and save him. What I loved also about this movie, and this will kind of be the final little tidbit before we get to the main portion of the show, is this is almost like too deep for this movie, because this movie is just wacky silliness. But Batman took that burden from Robin. He saved him in that regard from going down this dark path, which he's already on, Batman himself. Earlier in the movie, he is after Robin's family dies. Bruce Wayne's thinking about it, and he's talking to Alfred, and he says, I killed them. And Alfred's like, who, sir? He's like, Two-Face, he killed that boy's parents. He said, and Alfred's like, no, sir, you said I killed them. And this is what I mean by deep is Batman made a vow. Bruce Wayne made a vow that no one would ever have to suffer like he suffered. That would never happen to anyone ever again, the way his parents died and was taken, like the injustice.
Yeah.
And he takes on that burden throughout his life. So even when he can't stop, the fact that he couldn't do anything, he couldn't have saved them, he still feels it's his fault.
Yeah.
And that's like Batman at its core. And it's funny that it's in this movie.
It's in this movie.
That's right. And it comes to a close with Chase clarifying that Nygma has no idea who Batman's true identity is. And, Batman's going to work late tonight. So he tells Chase not to wait up. There used to be a grand tower alone on a sea.
Is that the theme? I shut it off after.
You shut the movie off. Yeah. No, it actually goes into a little U2. It's like dun, 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 ah. Cha, 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 da, da. And then it goes Seal, that song. Okay. What's it called? Kiss from a Rose. But yeah, and that's Batman Forever.
And ever and ever. Ah!
It's gonna be really tough to factory this because it's so ingrained in my heart. I don't know.
I don't know.
I can tell you straight up front, I do not have a composer.
I mean, we don't have to do a composer if you don't want to do a composer. We could just go classic and say, Danny Elfman.
Yeah, he didn't do this film, so we could just have him do it.
Yeah. No, it's fine. So in this portion of the show, this is where we take the film we just watched and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, just different cast and crew involved. So with that being said, we got our Batman Forever here. And who do you want to do? We got director. We have composer. We just said we aren't going to do composer, though. So we got director, I'm assuming Batman, Robin, Two-Face, Riddler. You know, do we need to do Dr. Chase Meridian?
I got one if you don't.
All right, we'll just do it that way then. So we got, we got director, we got our Batman, we got Robin, Two-Face, and Riddler. And Chase Meridian. Chase. Alrighty. And so, with that being said, who do you got to play your director? To play your director.
To play my director. I got Chris McKay. He's mainly known for animated work on, like, Robot Chicken. But he did direct the Lego Batman movie.
Ah.
And I enjoyed that movie very much. And it... is like an all-inclusive world of all things Batman, to the point of parody, but it's like visual ecstasy for the eyes. So I really like the direction he could take this movie, Batman Forever. He is scheduled to direct Lego Batman 2, as well as a live-action Nightwing movie, potentially.
That was a nice little thing there, too, when he's trying to come up with his name. He's just like, gotta have a name. It's like Bat Boy. Nightwing. What do you think?
I just appreciate that he's well engrossed in the world of Batman lore. So why not bring him aboard for our Batman Forever?
All righty then. So for my pick, I chose a director that I don't think we've used on this show before, but a great director, old same, and that's Michel Gondry. He is a French director, but he has done two films. The one doesn't necessarily tie up with this one. The other one does. So he was the director of Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which is a phenomenal movie. That doesn't necessarily tie into this. I just wanted to throw that out there. That's a great movie. But the movie that I do want to tie into this movie that has the zaniness, the action, the superhero-esque feats, and the goofiness would be he was the director of the 2011 remake of The Green Hornet with Seth Rogen. Oh,
indeed.
And I actually like that movie. I don't necessarily think it's good. I think it's entertaining. And I think it's well put together. Now, I didn't grow up with The Green Hornet, so there's a lot of people that are probably like, "That's shit." But I thought it was very enjoyable. I saw it in theaters when it came out.
I just watched it the other day.
Yeah, so you see what I mean by it has almost the same feel in terms of like zaniness and goofiness, but also action and whatnot.
I hear you. So let's see what our coin determines, and the old flipsy doos go, "Your heads, I'm tails." So we got tails on Chris McKay.
Chris McKay, ant. Yes. Okay.
Ba-da-da, ba-da-ba.
Alrighty then. How about Chase Meridian? You said you had one there, so you.
Yeah, I just had Rachel McAdams as my choice for Chase Meridian. She probably most known for Mean Girls and The Notebook, but she's also in the Sherlock Holmes films. Recently, she's been seen in Doctor Strange and Game Night and that Eurovision Song Contest on Netflix. She's due to be in Sherlock Holmes 3, a very popular actress nowadays, and she has played the rainbow of roles from, you know, doctors to damsels in distress to strong, powerful women characters. So why not throw her in Chase Meridian, who's just as confused as of a character as can be.
True. She was in Doctor Strange as well.
I did say that, yes. All right, and she played a doctor.
Yeah, so, and.
Or a nurse or something.
I'm good with that. I didn't really think that, because we had two big villains to cast and two big heroes to cast. I didn't really think about one there.
Mm-hmm.
So no I'm problem. Good. I'm good with that. So let's do our villains here. I'd say Riddler's the bigger villain in this movie. So why don't we do Two-Face first?
Two-Face was easy for me. I wanted to stick with like the similar line of like Tommy Lee Jones, which is really difficult to do. But I actually went Josh Brolin.
Whoa. He's just so superheroed out.
He is, right?
It's been Jonah Hex, Thanos, and fucking Cable.
Cable and Two-Face now, and if you're asking me. He's probably one of the bigger names in Hollywood right now.
I just had
he's
a wet dream. I looked down at my Funko of King Bradley. I'm like, Josh Brolin is King Bradley.
that's not bad.
Will Salim. Shit.
Do you think you could attempt to say a line from Two-Face, but as Thanos?
Luck. Blind, clueless, simple. Doodah luck.
Close enough.
Kind of.
So that's my pick. Who do you got as Two-Face?
So I wanted to go with an actor who I've seen. Two-Face in this movie is really zany and wacky and crazy, and kind of over the top. So I wanted to go with an actor who has done roles similar to that, but I've seen him do serious. He's more of like a serious comic. Like, he's been in goofy movies where he's, like, over-the-top goofy. But then he's also been the serious guy or the dumb guy or whatever it may be. But so I wanted, and I think he would fit this Two-Face well, and that's Will Arnett.
Yeah, okay.
Will Arnett, obviously comedian, and in a lot of different things. The thing that kept coming to mind was like his portrayal in like Blades of Glory, or in Parks and Rec, or in even the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies, where like in the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies, he's more of a serious character. He's not really a comedic character. He has a comedic turn, and he is part of like the comic relief of that movie. But I would say Will Arnett fits that mold. I think he would actually look good as Two-Face as well. And he is Batman in the Lego Batman movies. So let's make the turn.
Let's see what our Two-Face coin has to say about the matter. And hey, it's Will Arnett.
Indeed.
Josh Brolin gets a break.
Yeah, he does. So then how about Riddler? Who you got for your Riddler?
Riddler. You know, I didn't want to be typical and stick with like a comedian actor like Jim Carrey was seen as at the time. But that's kind of where my brain went. I couldn't get away from it. And I actually went with one of my favorite comedian actors today. And that's Bill Hader.
Ah.
Bill Hader as the Riddler.
Yeah.
Like, Bruce Wayne. Don't even ask. Just bring it. So, yeah, I went with Bill Hader, known for SNL. But he's also on in that show Barry, which is on Stars. It gets pretty well received. He's known for his roles in Hot Rod and his small role in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah, he's great in that, though.
He's great in everything. He's like such a talent. And I could see him pulling off.
He's in Trainwreck. I just watched that movie. He was good.
Right, yeah. I could see him just pulling off some unsanctioned buffoonery, as Tommy Lee Jones would put it.
So, hey, for whatever reason, hey, because I had IMDb up, and so this is just a reference. As you were finishing that statement, IMDb just decided to play an ad. So it just got music just blaring in my ear all of a sudden. I was like, So that's probably on the recording.
Okay, I did not hear it, but if it's uneditable... Uneditable?
Yeah, unedible.
Sure. We'll keep it in.
All right. So mine, again, same as you, I went with a typical pick, a comedian, to play the Riddler. And that pick was an actor who hasn't been in a lot, but has played these zany, goofy, crazy roles pretty much. He's pretty much become typecast and everything he's been in. And that is Zach Galifianakis, who also...
You crazy.
He played the Joker in the new Lego Batman movie. Why would he not be a good pick?
I don't know. I just said, you crazy.
Yeah, Zach Galifianakis, think of him in things like The Hangover, where he is kind of like just the goofball idiot. But also think of him at the end when he's like the mathematical genius and learns how to count cards and shit. I think I've seen him, sadly, I've seen him in Dinner for Schmucks, which is a terrible movie. Like one of the worst movies I think I've ever seen in my life. But he plays like a really stoic idiot in that movie. And I see him as a good fit for that role.
And just to show range, he's actually low-key really good in Birdman.
Yes. He's good in Birdman. Yeah. His show, Between Two Ferns, is pretty great, too. Like
our first introduction to him, Out Cold. Great
man as well. Yeah, so I think he would be a good fit for the Riddler. A little different, but different. He's already got the red hair.
That's true. Wouldn't have to do much. Would he keep his beard? Obviously. I think he has to. Let's see what the coin says. If he would even have to bother. And we got Bill Hader, old tails.
Bill Hader. All right.
Keep your beard.
All righty. Then who we got for our Robin?
Do we have the same Robin?
Maybe. You go ahead and we'll see.
Mine's the obvious choice, and it seems like typecasting at this point, kind of. But I would go Chris O'Donnell. No, I would go Tom
Jeff
Holland.
Jeff Gordon-Levitt. Oh.
Yeah, that would be funny. No, I went Tom Holland. That's like the type of roles he plays right now, just like teenage superheroes. So that's
he's
what
done,
he's known
he's done
for.
That once.
Yeah, it's what he's known for. He's been typecast as. I mean, he's played him in like 5 movies now. But yeah, that's strictly what made me pick him as my Robin. He can do the dramatic side, but yes, he is in the superhero world as Spider-Man. And he would play a good Robin. I want to argue he might be too big for the role of Robin nowadays, but
that might be what the role of Robin needs.
Maybe
someone big that they, yeah, because a lot of people don't want Robin in their movie.
I got Tom Holland.
Tom Holland. That's actually is who I had picked.
I knew it.
Batman as Robin as well. Mostly due to everything you said, just the fact too that he literally comes prepackaged with everything, even including like the acrobatics and like gymnast ability, because he's got all that built in.
So obvious of a pick, but I'm glad we settled on old Tom Holland. How about Batman? Who's going to replace those lips?
So before we do that, do you remember who do we have for Batman last year?
Oh boy, do I remember. Jensen Ackles.
Oh, thank God. It's a fake.
My pick. My pick, Jensen.
So we went Jensen Ackles of Supernatural fame last year. Batman is an iconic role, and now what? How much? There's been just as many Batmans as there has been James Bond, and many fewer movies. Right? How many Batmans have there been?
Seven.
Seven Batman. Seven Batmen.
Unless you're counting television, but eight actually, because Kevin Conroy did play him in Mask of the Phantasm. Nine with Batman, Lego Batman.
Yeah.
It's even more than there's been Bond films.
So modern day, we have our Batman coming up being Rob Pattinson, which I'm actually pretty excited for. I think he'll.
I just watched Twilight, so I'm very excited. But
you're ready. Well, my Batman that I think would pull off this role well, he's become a huge star in recent years, and he's a fantastic actor and is able to do the action, but also do the stoicness of Bruce Wayne, and that's Michael Fassbender. I think Michael Fassbender would be a great Bruce Wayne, I don't really think I need to say much else. Michael Fassbender, obviously.
Magneto himself.
Yeah, Magneto, Assassin's Creed, sadly. But that's like shows an action side, combat side.
Inglourious Bastards.
And
12 Years a Slave.
Alien Covenant, Prometheus, etc. So
right.
Michael Fassbender is my pick.
Okay. I was trying to find an actor who would fit in the world of like Batman Forever that we have already been presented with, kind of thing.
Yeah,
and actually went with Chris Pine. Chris Pine
of Wonder
nowadays,
Woman fame,
of Wonder Woman fame, and Star Trek, and is playing Captain Kirk, amongst others. I see him going under the cowl. I see him fitting. He kind of reminds me of like a Val Kilmer, I suppose. And he's very charismatic and has unique lips.
Well, that's kind of like a precursor to this role.
Indeed.
Alrighty, we'll go ahead and Flipper.
Flipper, the dolphin. Or wait, that's a seal. Or no, it's a dolphin. And it is Chris Pine.
Oh, shit.
Got tails here.
Alrighty, well then, the Batman Forever remake, we got Chris McKay as our director, our Chase Meridian, played by Rachel McAdams, our Riddler, played by Bill Hader, our Two-Face, played by Will Harnett, Robin, played by Tom Holland, and Batman, played by Chris Pine. Indeed. So,
indeed.
We can go ahead and wrap out the show here. Usually we have a little bit of questioning time. However, today we have a hard out. Gus, you want to explain the hard out maybe and as our little push?
So September 4th, tune in to the Brothers Movie Factory. We'll be releasing an interview with Matt Prevencel, New York-based actor, creator, and YouTube personality known for his role as Wario in the Stupid Mario Brothers. He's creating a film, a pilot, for a show he wants to present. I should say a short film, but it's going to be a pilot for a short film called King's Blade. He's looking to pitch it to studios and distributors. And he's and we're looking to help and spread the word. So we're doing an interview with him, and that will be presented September 4th indeed.
All righty. So that is the show, everyone. We hope you enjoyed it. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out over on Audioboom. That's our primary site. That's where we're putting out the show first, and then subsequently it gets shipped out everywhere else. So Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, we're going to be there. You can also find us over on Twitter. We're at the Bros Movie Pod. That's where we'll be posting links to the show, what we're going to be watching this week, and things of that nature. You can also find us over on Facebook.
Go to Facebook, type in the Brothers Movie Factory. Hey, you find us there. Like us, share it, we post. I like to make memes every week based on the things we're watching, and I include links to things Ben mentioned a moment ago, Audioboom, Spotify, Twitter, and that.
So that is the show, everyone. We hope you enjoyed it, but until next week, brothers.
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 Brothers.